California is accustomed to leading the nation with energy-efficient and earth-friendly policies. Passive building is another example of that. This week, Techonomics host Jason Middleton looks at a method of building that seems to suit California's market and its climate. But can passive building catch on in other parts of the country? The conversation with an expert home builder starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening to Techonomics. Being energy efficient. It saves money, it saves the environment, and it even has health benefits. We'll talk about that last one in just a second. Passive home building is a set of design standards that can cost a little bit more to build, but it's eminently recoupable upon resale and can result in an almost two-thirds reduction of energy costs while you live in the house.
Building a very, very efficient house like I'm talking about is maybe anywhere from 4 to 7% more expensive than building a conventional house. But you have to remember that a conventional house is based on the idea that, say, from after World War II, when energy was really, really cheap, it was normal to build a building that didn't perform well at all.
Now, that's our guest for this segment on efficient home construction. A caveat, energy consumption varies per household. But in broad strokes, these data points are from large-scale studies that we are sourcing. And California, being California, and leading the nation in energy-efficient mindfulness, passive home building is a market opportunity for builders here, and that awareness is spreading. Here's my chat with a passive home expert builder.
Rob Nicely, and I'm a general contractor, and I'm the president of Carmel Building and Design.
Passive house technology. As a general contractor, what does that mean to you?
Passive house is a way to build that's been developed over the last, say, 30 years and sort of turned into a formal criteria in the 1990s. And it is essentially a way to build houses or other buildings that they're built in such a way that they consume much less energy than a conventionally built building. And it turns out if you build them up to the level that they could be certified as a passive house, they're going to use about 20 or 30% of the energy that a normal building would.
Wow, that's impressive. Is the passive house standard voluntary?
Yeah. Well, there are places where it's been ingrained into the building code in Europe, and there's starting to be some talk about doing that in the U.S. in certain locations as well. But by and large, it's something that you do because you're wanting to build a forward-thinking building.
I wonder if that forward-thinking part you just mentioned is the market opportunity. Is that what you're seeing as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
It is?
That's
okay.
Part of the reason. I mean, I started down this road partially just to sort of stay educated and stay up to speed in my industry, but obviously before too long I saw that this was the way the building code was going and that, you know, you would have a market advantage presumably if you became conversant in building in this way.
Right. And I imagine California, you know, given that our green status here in the state, might be a pretty prime real estate for you, if you would.
Absolutely. It is. Over the last couple of code cycles, it's the kinds of things that you do to build a passive house are starting to work their way into the building code as well.
I see. So what are you seeing out there? I mean, as far as we talk about the market opportunity, are you seeing more customers coming to you and saying they want this?
Yeah, just in the last couple of years, there's enough sort of recognition that the built environment is part of the equation as far as energy consumption and greenhouse gases and climate change, that kind of thing, that people are starting to understand that there is a supply of being able to build buildings that, you know, are more harmonious with the bigger environment, and so people are starting to seek that out.
I see. So let's get into a little bit of the technology in layman's terms, if you would. I know sure. You could probably get in the weeds pretty quick, but I need to stay out of them if I can.
Yeah, I try to as well.
What about windows? Let's start there. What's new and different about that that helps with the passive house meeting regulation?
Windows are the, you know, because they're glass, right, and energy moves quickly through them. It's one of the sort of black holes where it's hard to keep the energy inside the building. So, and any assembly is referred to as having an R factor or an insulative value, and windows used to be pretty close to thermally transparent up until several years ago when we started to switch from single pane to dual pane. And now actually there are actually triple pane or windows that even have more pieces of glass, you know. So it depends on, in our environment here because it's a relatively mild climate. You could build a passive house with a dual pane window, but I normally use triple pane windows, and that's sort of the state of the art in our area.
Triple pane also are good with the sound reduction, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's one of the sort of people always remark that how quiet it is inside a passive house.
We lived in a flight path in Burbank, and they gave us money to renovate our homes, and they brought in these triple pane. It was amazing. It was amazing,
yeah.
the reduction in the sound. And they gave us really big, heavy doors, too. Is that also like a passive house thing, too, with heavy doors?
Actually, it's based on, you know, if you can think of a building as basically having six sides, the floor, the walls, and the roof, it's basically a modeling. The basis of it is a computer model that's a very refined heat loss calculation. So let's say, for example, you didn't have windows that were quite so good. You could make it up by having more insulation in the walls or floor or elsewhere. But what the sort of rudiment of thinking about this is the heat loss calculation for the entire building. So anything that, you know, has an impact on the sort of R value or the thermal usefulness of any part of the building could be considered.
Let's touch on one of the thornier issues, and I hope it's not too much, but what about cost and price getting to market with a passive house?
The sort of stock answer to that is that, and research backs this up, that sort of on aggregate, building a very, very efficient house like I'm talking about is maybe anywhere from 4 to 7% more expensive than building a conventional house. But you have to remember that a conventional house is based on the idea that in, say, from after World War II, when energy was really, really cheap, it was normal to build a building that didn't perform well at all. And because it was so inexpensive to use petroleum product to heat or cool it. So, you know, it's really a low bar what the sort of baseline is. So I sort of shy away from that comparison.
Sure.
And the other thing is that a lot of things that you do to improve the building shell or those six sides that I was talking about are very inexpensive to do, and you can easily do if you're just thinking about them when you're going through that part of the process. And again, I come at this from the point of view of a tradesman, right? So I was a carpenter, and I, you know, was building one house after another. And when I saw the things that you did that were different to build a much more energy efficient building shell, they're so small, the changes are so small, that a lot of it is just about learning a better way to build.
And plus, a house is an investment. For most families,
Absolutely.
It's the biggest investment they ever have.
Right. So that the notion of the upfront cost versus the cost of ownership over the time that you're going to, you know, it's again, very well substantiated that the cost of ownership over some time horizon is going to be much lower if you make it more efficient. And there's other benefits that are important, too, like the house will be more durable, so it will last longer and it will be worth more for longer.
Right.
Also, the same things that you do to make the house energy efficient also have a really, really big impact on indoor air quality. And you've probably, you know, are aware of the conversation, ongoing conversation about indoor air quality, and people are cropping up with asthma and other, you know, maladies in greater number now because, by and large, indoor air has more pollutants in it than outdoor air. So there's a big change in that in this methodology as well.
What about for existing homes? For instance, mine is a 1933 build. Can I retroactively try to get something passive going?
Yes, absolutely. And I have done remodels in this fashion and had really, really good results.
I bet it helps with resale value, too.
Absolutely. And this, that, again, is starting to be documented. There's been studies that show, you know, how houses in the marketplace compete if they have some sort of, you know, energy or other kind of sustainable building retrofit.
Right.
And they do much better.
So if you could not get solar panels, then maybe going this route is a way to recoup or benefit from those costs.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So, and one of the big conversations in sustainable building is about the kinds of things that I'm talking about is about creating efficiency versus solar panels is an example of power generation, and both things are part of the puzzle. But people normally jump right to thinking about power generation if they want to become more green. And one of the important messages in the passive house sort of way of thinking about things is that you want to create efficiency first, and then you can buy, you know, less hardware to make energy, and the energy you make will actually be being used rather than just sort of leaking out into space.
Very cool. Is a commercial version, for lack of a better word, of passive house building, LEED?
They're different. LEED and passive house are different, but again, they work hand in hand very well. Passive house is sort of a narrower standard. It only is addressing energy efficiency, whereas LEED is sort of a more of a broad spectrum, and I actually use both when I'm building houses.
Well, you have a big trade show coming up, Mr. Nicely. Could you tell us what you expect to get out of this new one and what it's called?
This is the North American Passive House Network. It's a North American annual conference, and it's going to be this October between the 4th and the 8th. I've been involved in a couple of these conferences. Passive House California also has conferences. That's the local subset of North American Passive House Network. A lot of it is about, number one, just creating more consciousness or awareness amongst the general public that this kind of thing exists and is possible, and then also for people that actually work in this industry to get together and see what's new and hear the, it's sort of a combination like trade show, expo, and an educational event. So if a person were to go to it, they'd be able to go onto a trade show floor and see all the latest and greatest products, but also go to a lot of talks and a lot of educational content.
Well, I'm intrigued. I have single-pane casement windows in my ancient house, and so I think that the windows you're describing are something I need to experience firsthand.
Absolutely, and there will be a lot of that to see at the event.
Right on. Well, Mr. Nicely, have a great event, and thank you for your time this morning and educating us about this.
Absolutely. I really, really appreciate it.
That was Rob Nicely. He's a passive home builder, general contractor, and president of Carmel Building and Design here in California. We have links to the upcoming Passive Home Exposition here in the Bay Area, as well as all of our sourcing and resources for this story and the rest of them, really. Look for the story that I wrote that goes with this week's show on the web at kgoradio.com/techonomics. Coming up after the break, there comes a time in almost every career where you have to fish or cut bait. Do you stick it out with your present firm, or do you hustle for a new gig? More on career negotiations. That's next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please come on back.